Okay, Alexander, we have two hacks. Not even a hack. We have one supposed hack, alleged hack, and then we have a leak. Let's call it a leak. So the hack is one that is coming out of, once again, the Washington Post. So everybody should take it with a grain of salt at a minimum, a very large, big grain of salt. And the Washington Post is claiming that the Russians hacked the U.S. Treasury, and maybe even a bigger hack than that. So this is the Washington Post running with this story, and maybe it's a prelude to more aggression, sanctions, NATO forces, a pretext for all that stuff, more military spending in Europe, all of this stuff. So maybe they're you know, preparing the way for that. So they say it was a Russian group that had hacked the State Department and the White House email servers under Obama is the same group that has now hacked the U.S. Treasury. That's the first thread. On the same day, pretty much the same day, we have on the other side of the coin, we have, and I'm reading this from the Daily Mail, we have the leaked files expose mass infiltration of UK firms by Chinese Communist Party, including AstraZeneca, Rolls-Royce, HSBC, and Jaguar Land Rover. And this is actually a story that broke out of Australia. And let me go to Zero Hedge. It says, Australia media claims massive leak of CCP members lifts the lid, that's a quote, on global surveillance state. So Sky News Australia broke this story, and this is following on the back of the Eric Swalwell, Christine Fang story that broke in the U.S. And all of a sudden, we did a video, and we said, I bet this thing goes a lot bigger and a lot deeper than we would ever imagine. God, does it go a lot bigger and a lot deeper. You're talking around 2 million people in this list. So really interesting threads playing out pretty much on the same day.
Absolutely. Very interesting. Can I just say, first of all, about the hack of the Treasury and the State Department and all of that. We're now told that this was, well, we were told right from the start that this was done by somebody extremely, you know, proficient in this kind of hacking, somebody, you know, who had highest standards of knowing how to hack these things. And predictably, and within a few hours, the Washington Post comes along and tells us it was the Russians. And it says it's the SVR, which is Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service, which is supposed to have done that. Now, the thing that really made me stand out about this, because, of course, it's completely predictable. They would say it's the Russians. It always is the Russians nowadays. They always talk about Russia, especially from that sort of source. But they also said, and this is quite interesting, that the SVR supposedly also hacked the DNC computers in 2016, and that this was somehow separate from the other hack of the DNC computers by the GRU, which is, you know, the Russia's military intelligence agency, which allegedly was the organization which supposedly provided the hack to WikiLeaks, the emails to WikiLeaks. So now, and this is completely new about the SVR, suddenly it seems as if, you know, the GRU has served its purpose. We don't talk about them anymore. We now find another Russian intelligence agency that we home in on. We don't blame the GRU anymore. That's old story. Now it's the SVR. Well, it might have been. I mean, you know, the Russians obviously do look at what the US authorities do. I'm sure the US does the same to the Russians. Quite possibly it was the SVR, but I'm not going to take it as true from that kind of source. That is the first thing to say. The second thing, the second story, the one about the leak, is much, much bigger. And I'm going to say something first of all. It's centered on Britain, but the British media are not covering it to any great extent. It's a big story in Australia. It's a big story around the world. It's far, far less of a story here. And I suspect, I expect that it is partly because the British are extremely embarrassed and they don't want the world, or at least they don't want the British people to know of the extent to which this is going on. And it is going on an immense scale, and that is absolutely clear. And here we have all this information coming out of Australia now, and very, very embarrassing it is for the British.
It's massive. Let me read you the three bullet points under the Daily Mail's title. Loyal members of Chinese Communist Party are working in British consulates, universities, and for some of the UK's leading companies. The Mail on Sunday can reveal the leaked database of 1.95 million registered party members reveals how Beijing's malign influence now stretches into almost every corner of British life, including defense firms, banks, and pharmaceutical giants. Some members who swear oath to guard party secrets, be loyal to the party, work hard, fight for communism throughout my life, and never betray the party, that's a quote, are understood to have jobs in British consulates. Embarrassing. This is, the government has to do something.
Well,
ASAP.
Can I just say, first of all, I mean, I am not surprised about this. If you went back a couple of years to the time when David Cameron and George Osborne, David Cameron was the Prime Minister, George Osborne, his closest political friend, was Chancellor of the Exchequer. They had a policy of getting as close to China as possible. They were talking about a golden age between Britain and China. The idea was that the Chinese were going to invest huge amounts of money in the British economy. They were funding and involved in the British, in the building of nuclear power stations. If you go to British universities, especially Oxford and Cambridge, you will find the Chinese footprint there is simply enormous. And I saw that for myself. And it doesn't surprise me if the Chinese are involved at every level now of British economic life. And also, they're working obviously at consulates and, well, who knows, they might be getting all kinds of useful intelligence that way too. I mean, that's the implication of all of this. So none of this surprised me. Britain got very close to China indeed, extremely close. And I'm sure that it is not the only country that did so. And I've always found this a paradox. I've always found this extremely strange because the British narrative is so anti-Russian and was so anti-Russian whilst all this was going on. And they were, you know, criticizing the Russians, sanctioning the Russians, talking about banning the Russians from SWIFT, throwing out Russian diplomats, accusing the Russians of doing all sorts of bad things in Britain. And they were opening the door and allowing the Chinese to pour through, even though on any objective assessment, it is China which is by far the more powerful country and by far the more challenging one, if you really believe that there is a Western alliance of which Britain claims to be a part. It always surprised me. It always astonished me the extent to which it was going on. And if the Chinese, who are tough-minded, pragmatic people, took advantage of it to the extent that it now appears, why should anyone be surprised? It seems very strange. And given how embedded they now seem to be in all sorts of British institutions, I wonder to what extent it can be undone. I mean, Oxford and Cambridge universities, and I'm sure other universities also, now float to a very great extent on Chinese investment and Chinese money. I suspect it would be a very, very big blow for them if they parted company with China. British companies, I mean, you mentioned Rolls-Royce, for example, which is, you know, Britain's biggest aerospace company. It produces gas turbines and engines that are used in many commercial jets around the world. China is a very big market for them. They're very heavily involved in China. Who knows, quite possibly there's Chinese people working very closely with Rolls-Royce to discover, you know, all the secrets about, you know, how to build engines, a technology in which China was well behind. maybe they're getting all that information now, and they, maybe they've already got all that information. We're talking about, you mentioned AstraZeneca, which is, of course, one of the Swedish-British pharmaceutical company, but it is involved in Oxford. It's producing medicines. We all know that one of these is important for use in the pandemic. And quite possibly, again, the Chinese have all that information because they're both involved with AstraZeneca, and they are also involved, as I said, with Oxford University. So maybe they have all that information too. And why should that surprise people? It bewilders me how this has been allowed to happen to the extent that it has.
Well, if it's a national security issue, I would imagine that whatever the pains may be, you know, you're talking about national security, so I would imagine stuff like this would have to, they would have to do something about it. They had no problem. All these countries have no problem locking down the economies and destroying the economies for the thing that we have going on, going around. But this is a real national, it seems to me, looking at the numbers, it seems like this is a real national security threat. So I would imagine that the people in the UK would support a government initiative to stamp out this infiltration. But on another note, to wrap up the video, maybe this is a separate video altogether. The fact that this was leaked and discovered in Australia and leaked, to me, is the main story here. Something is going on between Australia and China. We did a video about a week ago, and it centered around the photo that the Chinese tweeted, which was slamming Australia and how the Chinese said that Australia was this evil country. And now you have this massive leak coming out of Australia, which embarrasses the hell out of China and reveals the extent of China's influence around the world on every level, academic, business, political. I mean, they're embedded everywhere, and this list reveals it. 1.95 million people. That's massive. That's a city. That's a city, literally. So something is going on between Australia and China, and you know, Australia leaking this list, I think, was in retaliation to what China did about a week and a half ago. There's an underground a war going on here, and I think we're starting to see it, you know, get more and more public and reveal itself.
Yes. Well, I think that's true. I would add, by the way, I think that the fact that it's been leaked is part in the way that it has is partly comes from the United States, from the Five Eyes networks. I mean, they clearly want to now expose or reveal or the extent to which they see China as a country which is expanding its influence around the world, using all these contacts so as to basically cut down on the information that is being provided to China and it's all its economic and commercial links and all of that. So I think it may not just be Australia. I think it may be the Five Eyes thing. It may also be connected to some extent with the US transition, in the sense that I think some people in the Trump administration want to make it more difficult for a Biden administration to reforge links with China, because they will say, you know, we're publishing all this information, and what's published in Australia then comes back to the US. That, you know, this you're getting again very close to China, which is clearly an adversarial power. It's adversarial because that's the only way to explain its behavior. But I think the country that comes out worse from this, and which is also heavily embarrassed, is Britain. And I can't help but think that part of the reason for publishing all this information in Australia is because, as we've discussed before, the British and Australian political elites are very, very interwoven. It's a way of someone, and I presume, again, it might be the Five Eyes, the US intelligence people. impressing on the British and publicizing to the British and embarrassing the British about the extent of their connections to the Chinese, and saying to the British, you can't go on behaving in this way. If you do, you are compromising the West's entire intelligence posture, and you can't remain indefinitely a member of the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance. So there may be some element of that. Will this change? Will behavior in countries like Britain change? Would the people in Britain support it if the government started to take action to close all this down? Well, they might do. They probably would. But bear in mind, given how strong the interconnections, the financial interconnections are, given how many people are making money out of this, and we have to be very clear that this is on a completely different scale from all the Russian money we've been hearing about. I mean, Russian money in Britain is vastly exaggerated. Chinese money is not. It is vastly underestimated. Given how many people are profiting from this, I think it's going to be very difficult to disentangle Britain from all of this, because so many people's financial interests now are bound up with this system. So it's possible that going forward, Britain's position in the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance, if I am, talking about, you know, if my guesses or speculations are valid, might start to come under ever greater question, and we could start to see more and more pressure on Britain coming from outside, from its allies, from its English-speaking allies like the United States, Australia, and the rest, pressing Britain to start cutting these links with China, which have become such an important factor in British economic life.
All right, we'll leave it there. Alexander Merkers, thank you very much. Guys, like this video, click on that subscribe button. Check us out on BitChute. Check us out on Odyssey. And look for us on Rumble. All those links are in the description box down below. And, of course, donate to us. Help this channel out. PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar, and Bitcoin. You will find those links in the description box down below as well. And of course, go to the Durant shop, pick up some merch. That really helps us out. You'll also find those links in the description box down below and pinned as the first comment as well.
Absolutely. We could find all sorts of wonderful things. Look at our amazing hats. We've got both baseball hats and trucker's hats. And we've also got, these kind of hats, which you can see. This one has the tricolour of France, and we've got amazing sweatshirts like the one I'm wearing now, and we've got our brilliant magic mugs. This one is one of the smaller ones. You can see it's got the flag of Greece, my homeland, and of course we have our wonderful great Durant shirts and our Durant hoodies. You will find all of them in our shop. The quality is outstanding. The range is constantly growing. And the reception of these products from our viewers when they buy them is rapturous. So come to the shop, support the Durant that way. Support us by finding us on our other platforms, on BitChute, on Library, on Odyssey, on Rumble, and also support us on PayPal, Subscribestar, and Patreon, and in every other way. And also, please do come to our programs.
All right, Alexander Merkers, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.